Do you have an idea for a business, but you don't know what the next step to take? Or do you already have a business and you're ready to level up?
Is it really all about the hustle, or can you have some work-life balance?
On season 2 of Business Fluent,
we talk with entrepreneurs in all stages of their journey
so you can get tips and strategies to avoid the common mistakes and leverage best practices
so you can not only grow a thriving business, but you can live your best life.
Hey everybody, this is Tony Gallo from the Lorain County Chamber of Commerce. I'm here with Lisa Hudson from the Small Business Development Center at Lorain County Community College, and we are back once again with Business Fluent. Today in studio, we have Dave and Dawn Skodny from Air Filter Factory, and we are very excited to be able to talk to them today and find out a little bit about their company, how they got to where they're at, and what's going on. Lisa, do you want to say anything before we turn it over to Dave?
No, just excited to be back and glad we could connect with Dave and Dawn.
So Dave, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Air Filter Factory, how it got started, how long you've been in business, and all the fun stuff like that.
Well, thank you, and nice to be here. I'm going to ask Dawn to answer that question. She's looking down on the entire business, so she's got a good insight.
All right. Well, we were trying to figure out where to start, how far back to go. I owned a transcription company about, what were we in, 2005 or so?
Yeah.
And we were getting eaten up by the EMR, electronic medical record. And Dave was owning a bait store. He owned a bait store for a long time, other jobs as well. And he decided to sell the bait store, look for something else. And he wasn't finding anything. He was 43 years old, looked for a year for something different. But during his bait store years, he taught himself SEO and the algorithms of the internet. And in turn, that gave him a skill he had no idea that he was going to utilize. During the time that he was searching for a job, our accountant contacted him to build a website for a local manufacturer of filters. And Dave, of course, said yes, and built the website, and he's an entrepreneur at heart. So immediately he thought, what if I could build a website and sell these filters? So he was in a bedroom in our home, kind of our makeshift office for him. And so he asked, of course, the manufacturer, and he said yes. So he started building the website, started selling filters actually out of this bedroom, just found a couple that were popular, and then the manufacturer was making them for him, and Dave was actually shipping them out of this bedroom. It started to grow and grow, and eventually he got too big for the bedroom and went down to the garage.
So during that time that Dawn had the transcription business, a partner had essentially ripped her off, and our income was dumped by 80%. We did not know how much federal tax we owed at the time. And when that loss happened, right in 2008, was when the crash happened as well. We almost lost our house. It was an absolute terrible, terrible time to be able to pay our bills and to put food on the table. We had, three kids at home to mm-hmm. take care of. So we went from a nice, solid income of somewhere around $250,000 a year to 70 grand and living off of credit cards. Mm-hmm. That gives a little foundation.
Yeah, thank you for that.
As to the help.
Yeah, because that's huge.
Absolutely.
But we're both very driven people, and we weren't going to allow that obstacle, I guess, to get in our way. And so it was kind of interesting how, as the business lessened on my side, Air Filter Factory grew. And what is really awesome was the same month that I ended up at the end losing everything, and I don't want to say losing everything, but you know, it was going over to EMR. It was, you know, they were transitioning, exactly. The last month that I no longer had any more you know, clients was the month that Air Filter Factory literally exploded. So it was like, for our finances, you know, even though we were struggling, we didn't drop off.
Yeah, we had enough to continue to sustain us.
Right, exactly.
It sounds like even before Air Filter Factory, you guys had the entrepreneurial bug. Mm-hmm. Did that come, I mean, when you were growing up, did you have family members that were entrepreneurs, or were you the kids that had the paper routes or always thought you'd be entrepreneurs?
Growing up in Lorain, when I was 7, 8 years old, I would pick worms out of our yard and take them down to Hot Waters and the Mile Long Pier and sell them. Snowing right now would be a gold mine for me, because I'd be out shoveling driveways all day long. Christmas caroling. My brother and I used to go Christmas caroling door to door. And so I would say the answer to that is yes. Yeah. My father had a little bit of entrepreneurism. He made and sold some fishing rods and lures, and I really don't know where it came from, but the drive has always been there. It's not always about the money. Even back then it wasn't. It was the excitement of making a sale.
I did not. To be perfectly honest, I really didn't. I guess I was kind of spoiled a little bit and didn't have a job until I was out of high school. Mm. So the entrepreneurial spirit in me came, I don't know, I guess after I met Dave, truthfully. I was a flight attendant for 16 years, and I flew my last trip about a month after September 11th. That was it for me.
Sure.
So.
Was that here locally, here in Cleveland?
I was based in Chicago.
Chicago. Okay.
First in D.C. for 8 years, and then Chicago for the next 8. And at the end, commuted to New York for international. So.
Yeah, she lived here, but a lot of commuting.
I lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of commuting.
From what I'm hearing, and Lisa and I have done a number of these podcasts now, out of sometimes the hardest situations creates amazing entrepreneurs, you know, especially the ones that have survived or somehow willed their way past all of the bad. They come out on the other side, and that's truly what makes the company. And you read anything about 2008 and, you know, post-COVID, you know, there's a whole lot of people who lose their jobs that then become an entrepreneur, and, you know, it was that bad that created this good. And, you know, it sounds like with a little bit of luck and being a hard worker, Dave, you kind of parlayed that into, okay, I can sell these stuff out of my bedrooms. And I think it's a great story. It's a great story to hear, hey, you know what, it's possible. I started in my bedroom. I started with making a website, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the investment, because we were so low on cash, I went to Rite Aid and bought a $75 prepaid card and put it into Google AdWords, and that was my investment, other than time.
Yeah,
and it's an awesome parlay. It really is.
Oh, yeah. that's great. That's really, really great. And it's interesting to talk to people who, you know, are a husband and wife team like you are. We talk to a husband and wife team and how they get along, who does what, and, you know, how they make it work.
Yeah, and how do we make it work?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm reading the book Traction. And what Traction talks about, first and foremost, is that every successful business needs to have a visionary and an integrator. And Dave and I are actually those positions, and we didn't even know it. So that's kind of how I think we've made this work all along. A visionary, obviously, is just like it sounds. It's the person with the vision, with, you know, moving the business forward, continuing to have the ideas and the push to, you know, keep going with those ideas. You know, you could have 10 ideas and 9 of them might not be good, but one of them is great. And that has been Dave. He's truly the visionary of this business and the person who not only understands the internet part of it, you know, the SEO, the algorithms, but he's also the CFO. He's very, very financially sound as far as, you know, his knowledge. And truly, he is, in that respect, the reason why we are financially the way we are today. He's so good at that. Yeah. And I am the integrator. I'm the person that keeps people accountable and that the day-to-day, the organization of it. I was the one who created the system to begin with. Dave was using, you know, legal pads and writing all of his orders out. And one night, 12 years ago or so, I went out and he was in the garage and I saw what he was doing. It was midnight. And I'm like, Dave, oh my gosh, there's a better way for this. And at first he was just like, you're not taking my pads here. But I talked him into it and I found a way to, you know, to streamline and we really started growing at that point. So I have become such a firm believer in that a business truly needs those two positions. The business just takes off. When you have those two positions in place and you do what you're supposed to do in your path. Dave and I have always said, we stay in our lanes, we stay in our paths, and we try not to cross over.
That's really interesting. And I think that book Traction is great. We've also used it here through the SBDC. Mm-hmm. So for business owners out there who maybe aren't familiar with it, I would highly recommend it. So from that garage, and once you got those systems in place, I know you guys have had a storefront. You recently relocated to a bigger location. How have you guys grown from that garage?
I personally, at the time, wanted to stay in the garage, and Don really pressed to move out of the garage into a commercial location. So we really wanted to create good paying jobs, because at this point in time, we're able to pay our bills at home and have a little extra. And we were able to make a promise to a building owner, and we took a quarter of his floor in this office building. And within 9 months, we had taken over the entire floor and part of the upstairs. And now we're out of space again. And then we moved down the road to a plaza, and essentially the same thing happened. We had no idea what we were going to do with all that space. And in 4 years, we were out of space all over again.
And you're in the process of building right now?
We looked all over Vermilion. We were trying to stay in the Vermilion city area, and the mayor there helped us look, and he did a fantastic job. Everything to build was $1.5 million, $1.2 million. Don wanted a pool there too. We're very into our employees having fun. So we found an existing location on 113 and had 12 acres room for growth, almost 12,000 square feet. And we renovated it. And if you're ever out in the area, feel free to stop in. The offices is like a modern day Ohio Google. Is kind of the theme that we were going for. And it's really a very cool place. And we're so thankful and grateful to have what we have there.
Well, you know, Dave, I know when we talked a little bit before, since COVID, a lot of companies are really struggling with people and getting help. And you've said you really have been able to keep your team together. Can you talk about like how you built that team and some things that you're doing to help keep that team together?
Sure. Back to when we were moving out of the garage, we were committed to creating good paying jobs, first of all. And we have stayed committed to that for the past 11 years. When the business grows, our staff make more cash. When the business has a good quarter, they get bonuses. And we're not talking about a couple hundred dollars. They're in the thousands because it's essentially a profit share. We had a phenomenal year in 2020. And the bonuses for that year for our staff were in the five digits, you know, each person. And that was in addition to their base salary. I mentioned that we enjoy a nice work environment and culture. We have a fantastic culture there, and culture is where it is. People being happy where they're working. when people were working from home because of COVID, all of them wanted to come back to work at the office. They did, because it's the bond. They're a team and they're a close-knit bunch, and they look out for each other. We all look out for each other. So yes, Dawn and I may be owners, but in a way, they are able to dictate their financial future as well.
That's great to hear, especially for a small business, Dave. How many do you employ?
We have 13, and 10 are full-time.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. And, you know, I see a lot of businesses really start to struggle when they get that growth phase going. So, you know, they get to a level and they feel pretty comfortable and their systems can handle it, that, you know, and then they go through that growth phase, and that's the struggle points. Other than that, early on in the beginning, where have been some of your struggles in your business?
I'll go a little bit back in time, because there were struggles. I mentioned the 2008. Well, when that happened, we had a insurmountable debt of taxes, personal debt. Remember those credit cards we were using to live on? In 2012-13, our accountant told us to file bankruptcy. We had owed over $300,000.
Because the business was growing, he told us that there was going to come a point very quickly that we wouldn't be able to file bankruptcy.
We went to a bankruptcy attorney, and our accountant, I respect him highly, our attorneys, I respect him highly, and when I'm told to do something, I take my marching orders and do it. As we were leaving, we didn't sign anything. It was a consultation. As we were walking out of the bankruptcy attorney's office, Dawn started crying and said, "We can't do it. Not right." So we didn't file bankruptcy, and we paid every penny back that we owed everybody. Our company is essentially debt-free. We do owe a little mortgage on the building, but all the inventory, every piece of equipment is all paid for. So that was a foundation that we really learned that, you know, be careful and don't overspend.
So one of the things that Lisa and I hear a lot of from small businesses, a lot like yours, is the inability to get financing sometimes. Local banks, maybe because they're a little afraid of collateral or even maybe a brush with bankruptcy as you guys experienced. Is that something that you have found? Do you have a line of credit? Is that anything that you would recommend a small business, you know, make sure that they do have or are prepared for?
Absolutely. We did apply for a line of credit, a business line of credit in 2017, and were denied. However, we were able to build our personal credit back enough, which is in a phenomenal place now, that we do have a line of credit, a sizable line of credit. And advice to a business owner on that line of credit is, when you use that line of credit, your projections must have an endpoint of when you are going to pay that off. My endpoint, when I take a draw on that line of credit, say I'm ordering $500,000 in inventory and I use the line of credit, my endpoint is before the end of the year. This past year, it was December 27th, paid in full. So having an endpoint, that interest will kill you. It really will, and it devours your profits. That is my goal and endpoint. Anytime I spend anything, I have a plan to pay it back, if it's line of credit. And if it's not a line of credit, we're sitting on the cash to buy it. If we don't have the cash to buy it, we essentially don't buy it, or a plan to buy it and pay it.
Mad Magazine.
Advertising mascots.
B-movie posters.
And cartoons.
Oh yeah, can't forget cartoons.
If you get the funky connection that ties these pop culture gems together, you'll dig two designers walk into a bar.
See, we're a couple of creatively curious pals living between the bookends of grand museums and dive bars.
Hey, you know the place, the sweet spot where highbrow and lowbrow become drinking buddies.
So join our barroom chats as we talk influential work and uncover stories of how the familiar became iconic. Think behind the music for the stuff we love.
Check out our website at twodesignerswalkintoabar.com.
And listen wherever you get your podcasts or visit evergreenpodcasts.com.
Were you guys affected by the ability to get filters, delays on, boats, anything along the lines of that as far as, fulfilling orders?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. We, as a company, attempt to provide better filters to the consumer.
Okay.
Not just the run-of-the-mill. And I'm talking about range and microwave type of filters. So with that, everything that we buy is U.S., everything. So with that being said, there were some supply chain issues, some metals. When in March of 2021, I started noticing that there were ships offshore and there was a potential issue, a tidal wave coming. So I started loading up more inventory and took our revenue and investing it in more and more inventory. I got it to the point where I bought, normally I'm 10 to 12 weeks out and buying inventory. I was a year to 1.2 years out by the end of summer. So when this really came to light in the public that there were supply chain issues, you better buy your Christmas goods, we were already sitting on a gold mine of product in case everybody else started, our competition started running out.
I'm preparing for the annual meeting, which is coming up, and the U.S. Chamber had put out, they had looked for quotes for 13 different small businesses, and it just rang in my head because I like this guy's quote. The quote was, "Make sure you analyze your stock levels, sales, and inventory, and plan ahead. Planning is the best practice for business success. Buy well, buy smart. In today's world, with today's demand, stock is king. Customers want goods now, and they are willing to pay for them." Would you agree with that statement?
100%.
Yeah, very well said. I would agree with that. And even right now, sitting on the extra inventory that we are, looking out into the future, I'm going to sell it, so we're going to buy it. And we're loading up for 2022. Now, things that I would normally buy in September, October, I'm looking at buying in March.
You know, and it's fascinating that that's where we are because, you know, previously it was all like just-in-time purchasing.
And
I think from a cash flow perspective, that had always been a best practice. But now, you know, that same philosophy has bitten some companies in the patootie. That's great. So your business, you're a husband and wife team. How do you make a decision if you don't agree? Does one of you have a final say?
Yeah.
All right, I have to go now.
Lisa, you're breaking up. We've lost Dave.
That's right. Well, on paper, Dave has the final say. He is 51% owner. I'm 49. As his wife, I know I have some influence, obviously. So if it's something I'm really passionate about, I work on him, I guess. I learned a long time ago. We've been married for 19 years. And for us, and I know for probably many other married couples, we didn't think we'd been married a month, to be honest with you, not 19 years. So it's a huge accomplishment for us. And I just know that I can a lot of times talk him into things, but if it's not business sound, then he's going to stand his ground. So.
What she does, she tries to twist it around in conversation at times, plants these little seeds, and tries to make it my idea.
It's called the game.
I saw that Ralphie did that when he wanted the gun in A Christmas Story, right?
You know. That's right. Yes, I named it the game.
That's
right.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and it's kind of in that same vein. Do you guys find that your business just carries over into your personal life, that you can't shut it off? Are you good about shutting it off? How do you find that balance? I mean, there's a lot of talk about work-life balance, but I think that's becomes even more complex when your coworkers, your spouse, and you're the owners of the business.
You're looking at me. Yeah, it's been tough. Like I said in the beginning, we're very driven. We're very stubborn people. And I think part of that is why we're still married. Plus, we love each other. But yeah, the business is constant, and especially with Dave. He lives, eats, and breathes this business.
But with that being said, I do have boundaries. My boundaries are is when I'm dealing with business, if it's a family member, they are not to be treated any different in any way, shape, or form. And I'm very much cut and dry in that arena. However, Dawn is a little bit more caring, loving, nurturing, and she is not as cut and dry as I am. So that causes us to bump heads. It does. Even if it's not a family member that's working, but she's gotten past that, and she's gotten better, and I think I have as well.
You know, with COVID and Zoom meetings and being able to do business pretty much anywhere and everywhere, you're able to take advantage of it. Are you guys able to ever get on vacation, go away, because you can still attend a Zoom meeting and get out of town, get out of Dodge for your own mental health?
We have. Mm-hmm. We actually bought a nice RV, two summers ago?
Yeah, it's a Class A motorhome.
Yep, beautiful. It's beautiful, and we take the grandkids. And, you know, Dave can work, obviously, with Wi-Fi everywhere. And we try to do that. I think it's essential for your mental health. Dave works from home 98% of the time. And now that I'm going back, I'm going to be going to the office. I think it's important to be there when you're the position that I'm going to have. But getting him out of here, he likes to fish. So I encourage him all the time, go out on your boat. There he can't work, which is good. So,
but yeah, it's I'm looking forward to that. But what she just described, myself being able to work remotely for the past 2.5 years, for the most part, that says a lot about our staff.
Yeah,
and they do a phenomenal job. I give them direction. And they execute. And my hat is off to them.
So you're not a micromanager, which says a lot about you, too.
I suppose it depends on the day.
Okay. It depends on who you're asking, too. Yeah. I think that some of them would be sitting here, they would say that is not true. So.
Yeah, I could do a lot. Working electronically and seeing things coming in and what's going on without actually seeing people, I know who is doing their work and who's not.
So, Dawn, you said you were studying and you mentioned a couple books. Besides that, have you done anything else to, like, worked with a business coach or any local community resources?
I have not personally. That's something that I would be very much open to.
Well, we're going to talk when this is over, Dawn, because the SBDC is a great place for you. I have a couple ideas.
Oh, awesome. Oh, I would love it. Yeah, be great.
But I think it's great that you're doing that research and reading, and kind of that continuous improvement is really important for a company to stay relevant and, you know, look for opportunities and ability to pivot. And I think COVID has made that really obvious to a lot of business owners, and the businesses that didn't do it or didn't have that capacity, I think you really see them struggling now, you know. And I even feel like even 6 months ago, I think there were still businesses out there that were just kind of like, we're going to wait till this is over, you know, and then we'll get back to business as usual. And I think at this point, I hope everyone knows we might never get back to business as usual.
Right. Things have changed so much.
Yeah. And everything you just said is just so true, that when you stop growing and learning from somebody, if I have a 2-hour conversation with somebody and I pick up one golden nugget, that could be a gold mine for me. Mm-hmm. So it's worth investing the time. We're both doing a lot of different studying because we have a new outlook on 2022 that she's very excited about, and in turn that makes me excited. So
one other thing I'd like to bring up real quick so I don't forget. We use something called Personalysis, and Personalysis is a really, really great tool for business owners out there. We started using it. We all have a Personalysis, and it's kind of like those color-based personality tests, but it's a little different. It's more geared, I think, towards business. And Dave and I both have the colors, fortunately, that are necessary for being business owners. It's helped us to be able to put the right people in the right seats. And we look at their colors and look at the position and make sure that those colors that they, you know, the things that they engage with and the way that they communicate and so on are geared towards the position that we're putting them into. So it's been a great tool.
Yeah, we don't want to drain them, you know. So we want them to enjoy their job.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And there are a lot of great assessments out there. And I'm glad to see that you're investing in your employees to do that. Because with a lot of smaller business, I feel like, you know, maybe they hire their, you know, their neighbor when they first need a body. And then they just hire, you know, the neighbor, they know someone else, and they never really evaluate, like, do their employees actually have the skill set to help the company grow? Are they in the right position? You know, and kind of do that assessment, that step back and make sure that you have the right people with the right skill set doing the right job. So that is awesome.
It's huge.
Well, and I think we're very lucky here. I mean, besides what, you know, Lisa's doing, you know, at Lorain County Community College with the SBDC, you know, Lorain County Community College, Firelands campus over there in Huron, you guys have worked with, you mentioned Abby at the Erie County Economic Development Organization. You know, take advantage of those things. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's so much out there and available to small businesses. I think sometimes we think everybody knows that. So, you know, one of the reasons Lisa and I are doing, you know, Business Fluent is to let people know that there are options out there, because no matter how many times we tell people, sometimes they just don't get the message, or the message isn't getting to the right people. So, you know, I guess I'll just say, you know, is there anything that you want to kind of lastly say, kind of wrap up with a big bow as far as what you would tell somebody who's listening about Air Filter Factory or your experience as an entrepreneur?
Going back to our catastrophic event in our life, they skimp on hiring professionals. And knowing that I'm not an attorney, knowing that I'm not an accountant, that they should be hired and be a part of your business, and they will help guide you through your business and make sure that everything you're doing is legal, your taxes are paid. The last thing you want is to end up in a situation as we have. And, you know, moving forward, we're in very, very exciting times. I know it's challenging times, but there's so much opportunity out there, including everything that your organization has to offer, both your organizations. I I would highly encourage people to use those resources because that's exactly what they are, and they don't cost you anything. So having the proper professionals that have expertise, such as accountants, attorneys, yourself, I would definitely encourage anybody out there to use them. And if they're not in a position to use them, start asking around out of the gate to help them grow. Am I doing this right? What do you think? You're only as big as your own mind. And getting other opinions is critical. Learning, growing, the whole ball of wax. That's all I got.
I think that the visionary integrator position, if it's at all possible in a business, is one of the most important things you can do. You, like Dave said, you got to surround yourself with great people to be successful. But having those positions and defining them and making sure that you're, those two people are rowing in the same direction but not crossing, I think is of utmost importance.
That's awesome. Well, thank you both so much. We appreciate it. Exciting to talk to people who are having an impact and growing a business, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. We've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's to a prosperous 2022 for you guys.
Right on.
Thank you.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.